I'm Kurt Benkert, and this is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of Pocket Presence. I am your host, Kurt Benkert, followed with my co-host, Tyler Webb, and we have a special guest today, none other than Hollywood Brown, star receiver in the NFL, new Kansas City Chief, and just a dog across the board. What's up, dude?
What's up, brother? Hi. Thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Of course, man. Glad you're able to make the time to come on. You got a lot of stuff going on in life, man. You're playing ball. You got stuff in gaming. You're well connected. You even launched a private equity firm recently where you're raising to build some properties, potentially. You got a casino license involved with it. You got a lot going on. I think we want to start from the top. Like, tell us a little bit about what you're doing off the field, because we got plenty of ball to talk about coming up.
I mean, first, I'm big into gaming. So, I stream. I'm starting to put together some vlogging for YouTube and putting some stuff on YouTube. But gaming definitely a big passion of mine since a little kid. Me and my wife just launched a private equity firm. It was one of those things that, like, you know, we've been in real estate for a while. And since I've been in the league, the consistent things I always hear from guys is, if NFL players come together, you know, you guys could do something so much powerful. And I felt like with me being a guy, like getting into the prime of my career, if I was going to be the one to start that now while I'm still playing, while I'm in those locker rooms, I feel like guys can relate more than a guy that's, you know, that's their retired and they figured it out. You know, they come to realization with it. So it kind of, everything just happened like literally like within the last year of coming together, getting with great partners. And we really focus on resort real estate. So it's like, I feel like NFL guys, NFL affiliates, even I got some coaches on board. I feel that's like awesome. when you leave out of the NFL, because not everybody have, you know, some guys have great college careers. Not everybody have the NFL career they want. I feel like it should be a brotherhood that's on and off the field outside of football. Like that shield represents, you know, it carries you through the long way. And it's, I had too many friends that was like, you know, dealing with the money issue, with the politics of football. So we came up with this company to really change that and change the narrative for players. Because we could have did the, commercial real estate and the storage units. Like I done did all, I had those investments, but with a chance to get a casino license, and we actually working with the NFL too, and some things that's going to come out shortly. But,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty much the vision on that.
I love hearing that. I think I have like my small little story of it where I was starting to do stuff in gaming, then did some consulting and dove into media a little bit while I was playing. And an injury led me down that path where I had a whole year on IR starting from preseason. And I just was like, I need to find something that I want to do that I already love that I can either monetize, grow, or just be passionate about. So like, that's my small vision of it. But I was lucky to start doing that while I was in the league, because it allowed you to open up doors that otherwise would be closed if you were an ex-player or retired or weren't in the conversations daily with the guys in the locker room. And I think that's a really good point you made about, like, yes, the retired guys are doing their thing, but it seems intimidating as a current player because it's always more ball, more this. Like, I don't know, just I think the narrative's changing a little bit and people are starting to dive in while they're playing a little bit more. But when we came into the league, what was your draft class? Mine was 2018.
2019.
So you were right after me. Like when we were coming in the league, it was like, don't really talk a lot on social media, like stick to yourself, like you stay in your lane and play ball and like you'll figure out the rest. But I think it's so important to just, all it is information and knowledge. Like anybody can do anything. And
exactly.
The fact that it's not being gatekept in the same capacity that you're starting it, that you're having those conversations in the locker room. I remember, I think it was it Whitney Merciless? One of my teammates was telling me about real estate when I was with the Packers, and like I had bought a house here and there and like sold or whatever, but he was getting into commercial and he was doing these other things. And like he was closing real estate deals at his locker after practice.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the modern day athlete is going. And to your point, the guys with all this NIL money coming in, like guys are having these conversations at a younger age where we're not 22, 23 having these conversations for the first time anymore. So I love that you're doing that. And I know we talked about it before, but definitely wanted to bring that up on this because I think more guys are doing this stuff, but just don't talk about it. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they're afraid to like stick to football.
It's
whatever.
Crazy. I had a meeting with a player today and, you know, he's an older guy. And he was like, yo, Hollywood, he was like, I was low-key mad at you when you finally told me about it because you never talked in the locker room. And it's like, you're so programmed to, you know, go about your business. And, you know, it was season was winding down and I started, you know, telling guys, you know, what I had going on. And a lot of them was like, man, why you ain't been tell us about this? And it's just trying to find that balance of, you know, talking to guys and telling them about off the field things, but also realizing, you know, where we're trying to go, what we're chasing on the field too. So that's something that I've been balancing.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing a good job of balancing it. And I think people know, I've even seen reports of like third parties and like, I've gotten to know you a little bit over the last year or so, but people talk about your work ethic and how you carry yourself and like how you got it out the mud and like all these things you've done to get to where you are. And I'd imagine that hasn't really changed your work ethic when you're in the building. But I think when you get a guy like yourself that you know how they carry their business in football, that's probably how you carry your business outside of it too. And so it makes you more trustworthy and like people want to ride with that and can trust you to like, if he's doing it on the field, he's probably doing it off the field. And like, let's go just kind of see what he's up to. So Tyler, I think you were going to say something.
Yeah. I'm just curious. You mentioned you talked to a veteran guy. Do you think older guys are hesitant to hear that kind of stuff from younger guys? Do you see yourself, younger guys coming in with better knowledge around this kind of off the field investment stuff? Because Kurt, I think you made a good point. With NIL, it almost seems that you're required to have something going on off the field. Whereas 10 years ago, it probably was a bit stigmatized and a bit, you know, frowned upon. But now it's like, if you don't have something going on, what are you doing? What are you wasting your time on? So do you think that's a younger guy thing? And do you see the NFL going in that direction where, hey, the younger guy is going to be leading the charge here?
Me personally, to be all the way humble, I think it's just me that I appeal to players like younger and older. Cause I don't speak a lot. Like, I'm about my business and everybody know me. So like, even guys like Mark Ingram, he like a mentor to me. When I first told him about the business, he all ears. Cause he know, like, I'm not a guy that I'm all about everybody. Like, that's my personality. I want everybody to win. I want everybody to succeed. So like, if I was to come to somebody about something, I lay everything on the table. Like, when I came into the league and people come to me about investments, I'm like, it's Hurst trying to scam me or like this, that, and the third. So it's hard. It was hard to like, I had that fear. That's what kind of why I didn't reach out to guys at first. Cause it's like, I don't want people to feel like I'm trying to come in, sell them something. Like, nah, I'm trying to help you. So that was, I got over that, I feel like, and I talked to colleges, like I'm going around to talk to colleges, trying to do, my schedule going to be full, like especially next offseason of going to talk to colleges, going to talk to teams. I'll be traveling with the NFL doing like different panels or whatever. So, I really just want to help. That's like the main thing with this is too many older guys pull me to the side. I'm in Super Bowl week. Older guy pulled me to the side, 2-hour conversation about finances and what happened to him. So as a young guy, it's like, why not listen to that? Why not be the person to try to make a change?
Yeah. No, I think there's like something too about, like, I feel like as athletes, like we want to be active with our money. Like we want to make it work for us in a way that's favorable, right? Like, I don't think, like, if someone came to me and said, hey, you put this in this, it's going to probably do this. And like, you don't really have to worry about it. I would be like, nah, like I want to go see it work. Yeah. I want to go like change the outcome of how it works. And so like, I think real estate is one of those things, especially when you start talking about social media, like leverage into these deals and like making it all come to life. You really, as an influencer / athlete / celebrity, have a way to tip the scales on deals that you decide to get into if you pick them the right way. Where like, I have a friend that he launched an Airbnb and then he launched like 2 or 3. Then he used his social media to book out the Airbnb for the next 2 years. And I'm like, you can't really lose if you're doing it the right way. And there's a proven formula and you're seeing it now. So one of my other friends, he's a big YouTuber and sold a company like, I think 5 to 10 years ago. And they're, as a family, they're kind of getting like a little collective together like this to, I don't want to give too much details. I don't know how much is public, but basically they're going around and getting destination spots that they're buying out and they're doing Airbnb type rentals, but through their own website. And I think they're launching later this year, but they're all destinations that this couple has already been to and like already made YouTube videos about that people are like waiting to do. And his example of this was he had a stay that he booked that this guy came to him and gave him the stay for free. Like, hey, come enjoy it. All you have to do is make a video about it. You can stay for a week, whatever. And this dude was struggling booking this property. and they went and stayed, and that property booked out for 3 years. And that, for most people, I think on like a surface level, they'd be like, okay, let's just try to book some more of these so that we can just travel for free. And but them, they're like, no, let's go like buy nine properties with our friends and go stay at them and make videos about them so we all reap the benefits. And so I think that's kind of what you're doing in a sense. And it's going to work.
I'm going to say one more thing about that. We're partnered with Elite Alliance. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that company, but they got over 100 properties. And, you know, everyone's excited about, you know, work with NFL Fair. So it's like, I wanted to do something where athletes can invest, make more money, but also save money. And, you know, off-season time is when everybody travels. So we're partnered with them. So guys get to go to, you know, any of their locations, free travel, free stay, and also go to the properties that we have. So, you know, we got a property in St. John's. You can go out there, stay, go look at what we're building, you know, bring the family. And I like it because it's something you can go see, like you said.
It's tangible.
I love that. Hollywood, you mentioned that you're going to be touring around and talking to college students, which is super cool. Can you give us a little taste on some advice you might be giving to some of these younger guys, understanding that they're dealing with these issues much earlier than you ever had to?
Yeah, I think a lot of guys that I mentor now is trying to keep them focused on what they want to do. Like, if football really what you want to be and you want to be a star, that got to be your main priority. But at the same time, if you want to have generational wealth, the same intent that you show football, you got to show that too. And it's a lot going to be required of you. And, you know, as you get older, you realize it more. But like you said, they're running to money faster. So it's still trying to draw that fine line of letting a kid be a kid, but at the same time, knowing that you've been blessed with these responsibilities to, you know, change your family.
Yeah, I think like a good point of that is, look, you can only train so much out of a day. You can only study so much. I think rookie year is the one disclaimer. First and second year in the league, I think you can never study enough. I think you have to like build a foundation. But after that, I think there is like overtraining. There is over preparedness, and you maybe start to think too much and not rely on your actual ability that got you there, that people love you for, when you're overanalyzing. And I think for these guys that are coming in, go build your foundation of who you want to be as a player, and take from the vets around you. And take, like for me, when I was in Atlanta my first 3 years, and I got to watch Julio Jones work. I got to watch Mohamed Sanu work, Devonta Freeman, who was a dog. Like, I got to watch these guys that like had been there and done that, and all of them did it entirely different, which was the crazy part. Like, and then I watched Matt Ryan and how he prepared, and then I got to learn from Aaron Rodgers, and how he prepared was totally different. And I think sometimes young guys think that it has to be done a certain way, but you really have to find the guys around you that you want to be like, take things from them that work for you, try it, test it out. And if it doesn't, move on, try something else, and build your own formula for what you need to do to be successful. Yeah. And I don't know, that's something that really helped me. And like, I was undrafted, didn't play, but I got 5 years out of it because I just was doing it right for a while. That's kind of, it's a cool part about the league, man. It's, everyone's got a different experience.
I think that's awesome. Kurt, you mentioned his rookie year. Hollywood, I want to ask you, you played with some crazy quarterbacks. I mean, your rookie, you come in, you get to play with Kyler, then you go to Lamar, and now you go to Mahomes. So you're just like, you're like MVP caliber hopping right now. Yeah. I know you just started with Mahomes. Can you talk about what makes each of these guys special as you've been able to play with them?
And I can't forget about my boy Baker. He was my first quarterback in college. So,
For sure.
Baker.
You have had a good lineage, dude. So,
yeah, that's even, adding Baker makes it even crazier.
And that's, I could awesome. Say one thing about my guys is he won the Heisman, and then Kyler won the Heisman. In my rookie year, Lamar won the MVP. So, you know, I'm not saying it's me, you know, but God has definitely blessed me to play with those guys, and they all different. Like, when I got into to college, like, Baker really saw something in me that helped me, you know, really spark and become the player and the leader that I became my second year with Kyler. And Kyler was more quiet, and it was kind of on, like, you know, me, CD, to be those, like, vocal leaders with, you know, other players. And then my rookie year, I come into, you know, Baltimore, I'm hearing all this talk about this and that. And Lamar, you know, me and him sparked immediately. I mean, we're from the same area, so many yeah. people we know the same. We played against each other in Pop Warner. And so, like,
what team did you play for in Pop Warner?
I played for Hollywood Eagles and I played for Daniel Bears.
Okay, I played in Fort Myers for the Firecats. Okay. And then we came to, who did we play? Did you have a team called Sunnyland?
Oh yeah, in Miami.
We played Sunnyland when I was in seventh grade, beat him to go to yeah. Disney. But we had such a hard time getting out of Miami every single year. It's the only time we were able
yeah,
to do
that's
it.
Dope. Yes, we cool. So we hit it off, and you know, he's exceptional talent. Lamar is kind of like on the field, he's like the best player I ever seen, as far as, you know, IQ ability. It's even crazy. And then going to play with Kyler and seeing, you know, all the like the flack he was getting when I first got there was pretty crazy. Knowing how much he loves the game. And that's another thing. Like, when you got friends and you see, like, the heat they yeah. taking and people don't really know, it's just, like, Kyler, to me, he can make every throw on the field. Like, and he's undersized.
He's special,
like,
dude.
Like, for what he does at his size, nobody can take that away from him. And, like, you know, he's going to be him. He's going – all those guys, regardless of who's around them, they can get the job done. Like, I'll say that. And, being with Pat has been great. Like seeing how he works, seeing how he's approached things, his mindset, seeing how he trains, second to none. It's nothing like I've seen before. And I could tell, you know, why he's the player he is. And we just been building our chemistry. And I'm excited to work with him for sure.
That's awesome. So we're talking Heisman, MVP. Kyler had the injury, but now you're with Mahomes. So we're saying probably MVP. That's what it's looking like. I'm just looking at the odds. The Hollywood Brown track record says good things for the Kansas
City Chiefs. The Hollywood bump.
But the Hollywood bump, dude. I'm excited, though, because I think, like, I've watched you play a lot, and I don't think there's anything that you can't do. And I actually think that how you play the game fits really well into what they do in Kansas City. And how they – obviously, I'm not in any of the meeting rooms or anything, but just how they run the plays, how I see the receivers run the routes – how I see Trav and obviously Pat work off schedule, and like there's no way that they're being quote coached to do some of the things yeah. that you see. And I think as a receiver, you get to benefit from that when you don't have a quarterback that's like got to go through like the robotic progression sometimes yeah. and like has to be a robot and has to hit on this step. Like if Pat sees something, he's going to wait a little bit longer, like a little longer than it says on the like play sheet or yeah. whatever, right? Like on the drawings and stuff. So I'm excited for that part to be able to come out with you, because I think how you play the game matches really well with that. When I saw the signing, I was like, man, like that's because they've had talented guys. Obviously Tyreek was talented. Like MVS was good at what he did. And you have Mecole who's good at what he does, but you're really versatile with what you do, at least from what yeah. I've seen. So I'm excited to see how it all meshes together, and you guys are obviously getting a head start on that.
Yeah, so exactly. I feel the same way. Like when I was going through the free agent process, I took it all the way back, because people don't know, like when I chose junior college, I could have went to Kansas and got on scholarship, but I searched through almost 1,000 schools. I probably sent over 10,000 emails to like schools. I wasn't getting no response back. And when I seen College of the Canes and I seen the offenses, I seen how they were running stuff, I seen what the receiver was running, their track record, a smaller receiver, I could play outside, inside. I chose there with like, I never left Florida. And it was just like, that's the offense I want to be in. And that's the same way how I chose yeah. Oklahoma. I went on a lot of visits. The reason I chose Oklahoma is because Lincoln Riley set me in a room and we watched film. And he showed me.
Yeah.
So like when I got a chance for free agency, you know, I mean, I could have went to a lesser team, you know, for more money. But when it was yeah. about I'm watching a film and how I want to be utilized, it was like, this made perfect sense. And I just told my agent, however you got to do it, bro, just get me there.
Dude, I love yeah. hearing that. That's going to be the clip from this one. I think, so I got two things I want to say. The fit, like, were there other teams that you saw around the league that you're like, man, like maybe that could fit for me?
Yeah.
Or was it just like, dude, I don't want to go anywhere. Like, just get me to KC.
It's always like, I mean, me and Lamar talked about coming back there. Like, but yeah. Like winning is a priority for me. And then how I'm going to be utilized. So
yeah,
it was just like,
no matter how much money yeah. you make, like if you're not being utilized, there's a point in the year where the money hits the same every week and you're like, damn, bro, I want to be balling. Like at the end of the day, like whether you, like no matter how much money you make, you want to ball.
So it was and damn near. It was like, all right, Casey, and then if that can't happen, then I'll figure it out. Like I wasn't thinking about nobody else for real.
Yeah. That's awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about the text from Andy Reid? I saw you tweet.
Andy, you know, we was in conversation for a few days, like before the sign actually happened. And they was going back and forth on the numbers part. And so I think they was getting ready to send the you know, I forgot however it was working. But he texted me and then maybe not even a couple hours later, my agent was like, all right, bro. We got it done. So
I love that.
Hollywood, were there any other teams that were putting the press on you? You mentioned you and Lamar talked about reuniting. Andy Reid obviously texted you. Anybody else that reached out that was really like, man, you got to come here and check this out?
Yeah, it was a long list. Like my agent sent me like the first, before the like day open, like 7 teams, but I ain't really like none of the teams he was sending me.
I respect that.
And there was one team on there that I like, and I was like, yo, I'll figure that out. How we can do that.
That's awesome. So you were 2019. So do you know who recruited me out of high school? Have you ever made that connection or no?
Recruited you?
Yeah. Do you know who we haven't talked about this. So Lincoln Riley was my offensive coordinator my first 2 years in college. Really? So
You went to ECU?
2000. I went to ECU.
Bro,
my first 3
that's
years.
Crazy.
Yeah. So my first 3 years, dude, I redshirted my first year. Second year was the redshirt freshman. I was the backup to the guy who had he broke all the records there. Lincoln had recruited me out of high school. He got me up there from Florida, and then he left to go to Oklahoma. And going into my redshirt sophomore year, I tore my ACL in practice in camp. Like, a week before our first game, before my first start, like, and that's what like derailed all of ECU. And then I transferred after our head coach got fired, went to Virginia, and that's where I kind of like restarted. I had 2 years to come off of that ACL and like go win a spot somewhere I'd never been and kind of like bet on myself like you did. And so that's like how I made it out, was I went somewhere and I was the third string on the depth chart coming into training camp, left to follow the head coach that went to UVA as a like D-line coach. And just earned the spot in camp. And we were so bad. But I learned football, like college football, from Lincoln Riley those first 2 years.
That's so dope. That's dope, man.
Did you guys run like 95, 92, like all those players?
I sent that man Lincoln Riley so many emails when I was in high school at ECU, and he never responded.
What could have been, man?
Did you ever bring it up to him when you eventually got to Oklahoma?
As soon as, like, literally. So I left high school. I only did JUCO for 6 months. So like, I picked up like 30 plus offers, and every team, I'm like, yo, like, how come 6 months ago y'all wasn't like responding to me? And a lot of them was just like, yo, we ain't even know you for real. Like, they ain't even know about me. So it was just like, dang.
Isn't it so crazy? Like, it's so hard to get seen because there's just so many kids. Yeah. Like, I feel like social media now might help that a little bit. But, like, if you just see an email with a name that you've never seen, like, what are the chances they're going to open it up and watch the film? You know, like, unless they saw a viral moment that, like, hit their feed. Like, I know these coaches are on Instagram just like us. So, that's awesome, man. So, yeah, we hit a lot of good stuff. And I think, let's go down this list. We're going to grab one more. I don't want to take any more of your time. Ooh, this is a good one. So I had a list that went out this week, and it was my top 6 receivers in the league right now. And I went through this list so many times before I even click post, because I'm like, damn, like, how am I going to leave AJ Brown out of this? But like, Devontae Adams and Amon-Ra, he's a whole different like type of receiver that people don't give him credit for. If you could take your top 5 right now, and you don't have to like off the dome or anything, if you want a second, who are your top 5 in the game right now and why? Because I think there's an argument to be made about a lot of different ways that this could go.
Yeah, it can go a lot of different ways, because not only is it a production business, but it's like when you're a receiver and you really study guys, you'd be like, damn, that guy cold. But, you know, it'd be situations they be in.
Yeah.
So, I hate making receivers lists, because I feel like you could name like 17 receivers that could really be top 10 for real.
It's crazy, right? Yeah, like, I don't do the same thing. I mean, I'm looking at like even like guys like people want to. I don't know. I think the public wants to shit on Puka Nacua, and I'm like, Puka did things on film this year that I'm like, he looks like a 5-year vet, and like he was crazy. But I'm like, how can I put him top 10? But like I could, and then you got like AJ Brown, you got like, and then you got Devonta Smith, who I also think is a dog, but he's their 2 receiver. But like on any other team, he might be a 1. Same with Waddle.
This is what I do. Because I feel like Tyreek Hill in my eyes, he the best in the league to me. Like when I watch Tyreek, is he different? And then it's like CD different. And I'm a little biased. I'm a little biased with CD. So
I had CD in my top 5. Like heavy. I think it was either 3 or 4. But like he's different. Like that's the thing. Like you look at these guys, and I think this is like a, even if we're not gonna get to the rankings of these guys, like I like different guys for different reasons. Like I think Justin Jefferson as an X is just like good.
Chase for a long time was like, since he'd been in the league, he was like my 1 for a while. Yeah. It's like I can't go against Tyreek.
Yeah.
But Jamar Chase, nice.
There's so many. Okay, so you like Jamar Chase, you like CD, you like Tyreek, and we don't even use these as a list. Like we don't have to make them a list. But like, what are some other guys that you see that are like, yo, he's cold and this is why?
AJ Brown. Yeah. AJ Brown cold because you know he big, but he a route runner. You know, he get yak. He a dog. He played the game the right way. Stephon Diggs. He been doing it for a while.
He's
been doing it for a long time. Little Tank Dell, nice.
Yeah.
It's so many guys, man.
Dude, league is stacked right now. Like I know. So I feel that. Well, it's
Hollywood, you mentioned a couple guys that you receivers will watch and maybe don't get the love publicly. Anybody that jumps to mind that fans aren't necessarily putting in their top 5 list, but you see him and you're like, they deserve more respect.
Elijah Moore, Cole. He's nice.
Okay. Situationally stuck a little bit.
He's crazy nice. Who else can I say?
And we put them on the spot here.
The Packers receiving court, because I be messing up their names, but they be cooking.
Bro, Dontavian Wicks.
When I be watching their games, I be like, who are them? They all going crazy. They all getting open. They all running nice, crisp routes. Greg Dortch. Yes. Is probably number 1 on that list. For sure.
Yeah. Dude, so how about, I was with the Falcons and he was on practice squad with me. Like, this was maybe 2019 or 2020. And we were just like eating. And I'm like, there's no way this dude should not be playing on Sundays. Just like stuck on practice squad.
Yeah.
And then we fast forward 3-4 years later and he's just balling on Sundays. Like getting, I don't know if he got a new contract or not, but like he's balling. And it just goes to show like how deep the NFL is. There's dudes all around the league that, some just don't get the opportunity. Some guys, it takes them 5 years to get the opportunity. But look, man, we got a stacked league. It's good for all fantasy owners out there if you got some of these receivers in good situations. Yeah. And I know you definitely you rocketed to the top of my fantasy hopes and dreams this year. Then look, on this show, when the season comes around, we're really big on reception props. And I'm not going to like sway you anyway. Just know, like, bro, we can't have any drops because I'm hitting the over.
Smashing like,
over. Every single time that I see you, I'm going to even say, like, if your line set at
4.5, oh my God. Hey, they'd be disrespecting me with the 4.5. It'd be crazy. I play fantasy.
Yeah, so we're hitting it every time. Too,
but we're going to have to get that early in the season,
the guys
too. We're going to be wise to it before.
The guys draft me, and then they try to make me trade. You know, same way how they're doing Madden. Draft me and trying to make me send my team to him, but it's all fun and games.
Well, I appreciate it, dude. Well, thanks for taking the time to come to the episode. It was nice, lighthearted. Got to learn a little bit about you. And I think the fans, like, we get into some of these and they feel like they still don't know the guy. I feel like people, when you talk, they get to know a little bit more about you and how you operate. So I'm glad you're able to open up and share a little bit about what you're doing.
Appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Absolutely. and we'll see you guys on the next episode.